Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. My name is Celeste Elliott, and I am your host, as always, on Thursday mornings. And thank you very, very much for tuning in. I believe this is our second episode back now. Third episode back now. So we're kind of getting into the swing of things. I have with me today a very special guest for a, sorry, I'm, yes, I laugh at my own jokes. for those of you watching visually, I've got my, my pumpkin friend with me, because this is our Halloween show, and I was trying to get him in frame, but it didn't quite work out, so that's okay. Anyway. So we have quite a day here in Lilydale. It is definitely overcast. It definitely feels like fall. Lots of, you know, just a little drizzle going on and all that good stuff. So if you have questions throughout the course of today's show, I also, of course, want to encourage you to go ahead and call in, and that would be 818-739-8818. But also, if you are on my Facebook page, you can just write in, and I do try to check the comments and that sort of thing. So today is our little Halloween event. And I titled it Are All Ghosts Victorian? I thought I would have a little fun with that. But I do want to tell you about, we have some really awesome classes coming up in Lilydale. So please do check those out at lilydaleassembly.org. We have a really cool one next Saturday on tree ecology, the Leolin Woods, A Story Told in Trees. That's actually in person. Everything else for the fall and winter are online, as you can imagine. So it will be socially distanced. You'll wear a mask, and part of it will be outside as well. So that's always cool. So anyway. Why are all ghosts Victorian? I got some of the most interesting questions over the years, and I thought this would be kind of a fun way to kind of gel this together, okay? And I think it's very funny, because whenever I don't think of mediumship as being spooky, you know, and of course, I would have a bias with that, because that's what I do professionally. But I don't find it spooky. I don't find it scary. I understand why the general public associates it with Halloween. And, you know, people like to be like a gentle scaring, as it were, I guess. But yeah, that's not really what we do in spiritualism, and it's not really what we do in Lilydale. But that's okay. So let's kind of talk about some of that. I find it really funny. You know what? Actually, I'm going to start first with some of the history. Okay. Why is there mediumship consistently thought of with Halloween? And that really goes all the way back into some old Christian and pagan celebrations and traditions. Pagan, of course, just meaning literally country dweller, which I guess technically I would qualify as now. So you would think country about me is my address, but that's all right. Halloween, there's pagan traditions that come from celebrating the harvest, and that, you know, you would have the feasting and the candy, and so you would have the fall equinox, and that would come out of that celebration and wanting to honor the spirits that helped with growing the crops and the harvest, and thus, of course, ensuring that you had plenty over the winter. And that's so that's kind of important. Then there was the Christian traditions, which sort of took over a little bit. You have All Saints Day. You have All Hallows Tide, which is kind of closely linked. And you also have days of celebration like Day of the Dead. That, of course, you know, people are a little more familiar with. There are some very ancient beliefs that the spirits can only visit with you, your loved ones, once a year, or for, you know, All Hallows Tide was actually a 3-day celebration. And that was all your loved ones, all the saints, and all the martyrs. And so it was kind of a combination effect, right? So you got, why have, you know, so one big feast for 3 days and celebration, and also it gave people, if they were mourning, it gave them an opportunity to mourn and feel like that was okay as well, and that their loved ones would come and be with them and comfort them. And of course, in spiritualism, we believe that there really is no such thing as death. It's just change of address. You take off the costume that you wear in this life, pun intended, and you go into the next life. So not so spooky, I don't know. But there's great fun traditions that come out of that. Now, when we got to a certain point within the Christian traditions, they put an emphasis on the concept of the devil, okay, which we don't believe in spiritualism. We believe that there is no vicarious atonement, which is somebody else. You know, there are Christian spiritualists, but the majority of spiritualists believe in don't believe in vicarious atonement, meaning that somebody else takes on your sins for you. We don't believe that you need that salvation is freely given, that God is within, we work on ourselves, we have experiences, we have joy, we have fun, we have candy, and then when that experience is done, we move on to a different understanding, and no physical body, and go from there. But these old traditions, it started to focus more on, you know, anything that was associated with paganism was considered very bad, and kind of a threat to, you know, there is that dynamic. If you believe it in X way, then you're going to hell, right? So that began the whole thing about, if there's a devil, then there must be demons, then we have to scare them away. And there was some of that in the pagan tradition as well, where you wanted to keep away the spirits who might damage the crops or play tricks on you or that sort of thing, okay? It's rooted in a lot of different cultures and a lot of different places, and I don't want to kind of couple them all together in this kind of monolithic way. If I'm not 100% familiar. The majority of what I am familiar with is coming out of sort of pagan or Celtic or mostly, you know, British Isles, that sort of thing. So Scotland, England, Ireland, that sort of thing. Okay, so ghouls and goblins. The jack-o'-lantern came from the Irish tradition of they would carve turnips into lanterns or any other kind of root vegetable, because that's what didn't rot, or gourds. And gourds became very popular. The pumpkin became popular in the U.S. Because we could grow more of them, and we got that from our native friends, the growing of pumpkins, so pumpkin and squash. So that's where that came from. So jack-o'-lanterns are great fun, and I enjoy my little light-up pumpkin that I showed you earlier. He was wearing a face mask for a while because, you know, social distancing, but no need for the moment. Okay, so the idea that There began a sort of campaign to end all things that were considered pagan, right? And because we, you know, people wanted to concentrate and focus on the new religion, and that became the dominant in the society, and that was, you know, but there began to be a focus on the concept or idea of witches as well. And that was anything with herbal healing, midwifery, anything with healing that was not, if it didn't revolve around the church, if it didn't revolve around male doctors, because there was a lot with, you know, we think of the common concept of witches now, the ones with the tall hats and the cats, right? The black cats and the brooms. I always think it's so funny because when we talk about these, you know, old superstitions, but also old prejudices, right? There was a time when I could have been, you know, hung or burned at the stake. Most witches weren't burned at the stake. They were tortured, pressed, drowned. Not so pretty. Anyway, so, but there was a time, you know, just for being born with red hair and having birthmarks, or just for being left-handed, or just for, and that's in the Bible, because, you know, these holy texts, most of them, except I believe for the Quran, which you're not allowed to change, went through multiple translations, and things were added to it over time and changed, and books, you know, entirely disappeared and went into the vault. And so, you know, the idea of witches were generally with some power or some knowledge and or some money, because if you were a single woman, you had a little more autonomy than, you know, so if you were a widow and you had money, if you didn't marry again, you could, and your husband willed that money to you. In some instances, you simply were assigned a guardian. You were given that option, but they would, you know, they would take your property, or they would just not accuse you of witchcraft and kill you, and there goes the family silver, as it were. So, you know, but the current depiction of witches with the broom and the black cat, usually that came from women who were in the beer industry. I just found this out a few years ago, where women that were in the beer industry, they would brew, and usually like right in their home, and people could stop off and have a mug of whatever. That was a very good way for them to provide for themselves. And they would put the broom outside to say, we have ale, we have beer, whatever. The cats were used because they were all the grains in the house. The cats were used to keep the mice away. So that's why the cats are associated, not that they did anything wrong. And in fact, there's no end to the lack of foresight. Cats were considered evil, so they killed all the cats, and then the rats took over, and then the Black Plague came to Europe for, you know, off and on for 30 years. So that was at least one of the times most important. Anyway, so I am going to talk about some of the stereotypes as well, because there's some very interesting stuff that that went on. For instance, you know, we see today the depictions of you know, haunted houses, and the stories are that there are earthbound spirits that have not crossed over, and once they do, we'll never hear from them again. The whole point of mediumship is to prove that is not true. Small miracles on demand, happening every day. What can I say? Anyway, but I think it's very funny that, you know, we get, I'm sorry, I'm a little slow this morning. I got to be really honest with you. I woke up and had all kinds of sinus stuff and not feeling so hot because of all the weather changes and allergies. And I promise it's not a witch's curse, if that helps. Happy Halloween. So some of the depictions of ghosts, it's always stories about white women from the Victorian era wearing white dresses, or gray or black, common colors, this is true, and, you know, walking, either luring people to their death or foretelling tragedy, or walking into graveyards and disappearing. And, you know, so I think it's kind of interesting and kind of fun. And, you know, I love the spooky stories too, you know. And so a couple different things with this, because I know ghost hunting is like super, super popular. I want to say to you, the energy that you are looking for is also looking for you, right? Natural law. So if you are building up the energy of wanting to find something spooky and scary, and it's sort of like, you know, putting a target on your back, like, oh, okay, so we should, you know, you know that there are people in the living that have these personalities, right? That it's like, oh, you know, we should go prank them, or we should, you know, kind of see if we can spook them a little bit. Well, if you have, you know, people in spirit that are his personality remains and persists. I guess I should go first on record and saying that I don't believe in earthbound spirits. I believe that is a huge misnomer. And I believe that, you know, all of us have the opportunity to go home when we want to. Every once in a very, 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 very rare occasion, you'll get someone that passes and is a little confused for a hot second, or they're choosing not to go home, they're choosing not to, and so they hang out on our plane for a little while, and, you know, it's like having a willful, stubborn child, or how many of you, and, you know, how many of you have had the experience where you're talking to people and you're saying, this is the situation, this is the rule, this is whatever, like it's in black and white, I found this research, this is the history, we know this for a fact, and they'll look at you and go, I don't think so. I don't believe you. I believe differently, that sort of thing. And you just kind of go, yeah, okay. Well, it can be the same with spirit. But that, by and large, if you have way less than 1% of the population, right? More commonly, you get something with that is along the lines of residual energy. Okay. Now the distinction being, if you are in a house and you have the exact same thing happening at the exact same time, every Thursday or every July 1st or every, 3 a.m. every night, a door opens and shuts. That is probably less to do with intelligence and grandma visiting checking on you but every case is a little different, right? So, you have to look for the intelligence of spirit. There's always intelligence. So if grandma is going to come and visit with you, sorry, I thought my computer was going to fall there for a second, so I had to move it. if a loved one is going to come and visit with you, they don't intend for that to be spooky. That is not just once a year. That is a regular occurrence, right? But if you have someone who had a really good time, and let's say they owned a house in the 1960s, chances are they're not going to show up in Victorian garb. Chances are they might not even show up as a full-blown physical apparition, because that takes a lot of energy and effort. But if you are able to see them, I got to say to you, it's because they want to be seen, okay? And it doesn't mean that they are haunting you, that there's anything wrong with them, that they haven't been able to go home to God and be with the loved ones on the next plane of understanding. It probably has everything to do with them wanting to come back and check out the memories. It's like a high school reunion, or, going back to a house that you used to live in, or, driving past. And, if you've ever visited your college town and you drive around and you go, oh, geez, I lived in that dorm room and that dorm room, and my friend lived in this house, and I remember parties in that apartment and that sort of thing. So that is not meant to be spooky. The Victorian era, the only thing I can say about why all ghosts are white Victorian, the Victorian era was really long. She was on the throne for, 60 years, because she came in. She was she took the crown at 18 and lived into her 80s, I think. So that's that's a long time. I will say that every once in a while they also talk about certain places, like they'll do ghost tours of Alcatraz, or pretty much any defunct prison, right? Or insane asylums, or this sort of thing. And I want to say to you, when people talk about parapsychology, parapsychology in its truest form should be psychology, the study of human nature and understanding of events that led people to think and feel a certain way, right? So, because it doesn't matter whether you have a physical body or not, when you're a spirit and you have a better overview of things, but you're not all-knowing at that point. So if grandma never baked a chocolate chip cookie, she's not probably going to give you advice on it. And if she does, why would you trust that? But she might say, this is my best guess estimate, you should add more chocolate because I like chocolate. So Victorian era was very long. when they do these tours of like haunted places, this goes back to what I was kind of saying earlier, that kind of the energy that you are putting out there that you want, the attention that you want is seeking you. So if you have someone who was particularly obnoxious when they were in the living, they might decide that that's going to be a hobby for them when they're in spirit. And maybe there's something that their soul would get from this experience, an opportunity where they never got to dress up for Halloween or, you know, but it's not, by and large, this notion of tortured souls that are discarnate is no. Sorry. And by the way, I don't watch scary movies because I get scared very easily. And I know it's not real, but I avoid them. So it's all about the Sanderson sisters for me on Halloween. So need a little tea there. Sorry. So you can go to these places and be spooked, but I got to tell you, I have gone into as somebody who, even going into a hospital or going into a funeral home or somewhere like that is a lot for me because I pick up a lot of energy when I'm trying my very best to mind my own business. I have to sort of work on that and adjust, and take care of myself. Okay. When I go into these other places, I've been asked to go to people's homes and businesses and different things and figure out, you know, what's going on. A lot of times it's environmental. A lot of times it's sort of leftover energy that needs to be kind of shifted, scrubbed. Just like when somebody moves out, you don't move into a new house on dirt, right? You clean it and then you move in and then you probably clean it again. That has a lot to do with you putting your energy into the space. So that's what happens. You get some of the energy of people who have been in that space before. Okay. So all good. It's really not meant to be a terrifying thing. Actually, it is. We both know that. Okay, never mind. So if anybody has any ghostly questions, please feel free to call in 818-739-8818. That is 818-739-8818, or you can type in on Facebook. But let's talk briefly about, you know, when they do these sort of haunted tours. And I talked about parapsychology and psychology kind of they need to be the same thing, basically. So what is, if you are in jail and somebody opened the doors and said, you are welcome to roam free now. You don't have to, you've served your time, you're good. Wouldn't you want to go check on your friends and family and leave that place far behind? Why would you want to stick around? The same with the idea of, if there are spirit people who want to, you know, take on as a job, sort of guarding the energy of a place, right? Because if you are walking around and you are miserable, it's sort of like listening to music that matches your mood, okay? And that's fine if you don't, you know, like really stick into it and you're like, this is my new reality. I choose to be miserable forever. But again, that's a choice, right? At a certain point, that is a choice for the majority of us. So, you're not just stick around in a place that you felt tortured. You're not going to stick around in a place where, but you might be attracted to that energy because you have something more that you want to learn from that, or that you need to go, you know, in order to bring yourself out of it, in order to realize that is not necessary. Some of us learn the hard way. kind of like stick shift. If you didn't learn on stick shift, you're learning to drive it is, you know, you're going, oh, this is much harder. Okay. fun, but hard. And so, you know, that's sort of my idea. The other piece of this, and I got very sensitive when I heard people talking about this a while back, is they were talking about things, they were talking about going to like plantations and there being, you know, slaves that were still, you know, their souls were still enslaved on the plantation. And I'm thinking, what utter nonsense and how horrible. Just like the, you know, again, if you were a prisoner, probably the first thing you're going to do is, if you get an opportunity, is, you know, escape. Now, there are some people who have that develop kind of like a Stockholm syndrome, right? We know about this now. You know, but that's very, very, very rare that somebody's going to stick around when they're not happy. Okay. So there is sort of the idea of like rescue circles that you hear about sometimes, that is in some people's traditions. By and large, I would say, you know, if you're going to walk up to somebody and be like, oh, you've been working. Did you know that your shift is over? Like you can go anytime. But you know, everybody has the ability to go home as a spirit person anytime they want onto that next plane of understanding. So, you know, the idea of people being stuck, not really. Often there's, it's because they see the same person doing the same thing at the same time. And again, residual energy, okay? So there could be something environmental that is also causing different things because, you know, as humans, we pick up on electrical and electromagnetic energy. There are people who, for some reason, get very ill before an earthquake. They feel it. They get dizzy. They get nauseous, this sort of thing. They're just sensitive, and we don't know why they're more sensitive, but they are. It's how they're hardwired. Just like mediumship, there are some people that are, I like to say, coming in a little more finely tuned. But everybody has it to one degree or another. It's just that some people, it's like really intense. Like some people get headaches, some people get migraines. And if you get both, I'm so sorry for you. And you do know the difference. We do not in spiritualism celebrate Halloween as a religious holiday. That is a bit of a misnomer. Although we do try to incorporate and honor our loved ones all the time. We are not worried about evil spirits. So there's really nothing kind of spooky about that energy. So it's a not so spooky Halloween. Sorry. But we do observe the traditions. I do love costumes. I do love Halloween. You get to be anybody that you want. And because you are someone else, the calories you consume from the candy don't count, according to me just now. So there is, and I heard this on TV. I was watching one of these detective shows, and they were, they had a medium and they had a detective, and I thought, ooh, this is going to be fun. And please, you know, I'm not criticizing any public figures, but I do think that there was some sort of misunderstanding because there was, you know, for some people, like I said, there is the belief system that a spirit person has to cross over within X number of days. Now I know from watching too much Korean television, that is a thing. Netflix has a whole channel. It's delightful. check it out, that there may be a belief, just again, based on some of the TV shows that I watched, that that if a spirit person doesn't cross within 3 years, they somehow turn bad. And then they're a bad ghost and they get stuck and they can never, you know, cross over. So there has to be rituals and that sort of thing to send them on to the next side and all that good stuff. And that they stay because, again, they have unfinished business. Well, we all have unfinished business. That's why our souls are eternal. We get to work on these things for the rest of eternity, not just while we have a body. You know, it doesn't preclude us from going home. I've had, as a medium, people come through from spirit and say to their loved ones, geez, I'm really sorry that we didn't mend fences before I passed, or I'm really sorry that I didn't tell you about such and such, or I'm really sorry that I didn't complete this, or I didn't have my estate in order, or whatever it is, right? So it's all good. Now, the other piece is the misunderstanding. Sorry, I want to get back to that. There's this, I am well aware that there is also a fairly well-known medium out there who tells people that if their loved ones do not cross over within, I think she said like 3 days, which is very short, by the way. Because if you're in spirit, how do you tell time like that? That then they become stuck or earthbound, and then they need help in moving on. Okay. So again, that kind of little superstition misnomer. So this lady on TV, this medium, and she's very good, and I have, you know, nothing against her personally. But her understanding of spiritualism was just a tad off. So I don't know where she got her information from. I suspect that her belief system is one that if they don't cross over. So, but her belief system is once they cross over, that's it. Game over. They're done. They're on this side of the door. You're on this side of the door. It's like a nightclub that we're all lining up to get in. And, she thinks that spiritualists doing mediumship readings actually is harmful, or calls on them or pulls them back onto this plane of existence where they are not supposed to be. And I just have to say that from my perspective and from my experience, that is definitely incorrect. Okay. So I would love to hear your ghost stories. I would love to hear your questions. So please feel free to write in or call in. And the number is 818-739-8818. And we can talk about some of the cool legendary things that you've heard of or have seen happen or anything like that. So I'm trying to keep an eye on the phone line, and I'm also trying to keep an eye on the Facebook. And somebody is writing in that that's not what they've been taught. Okay, so which part of that is differing? The part about them. We'll wait on that one. It's all good. Okay. Anyway, so I just have a few more minutes, but I do like to interact with people when possible. There can be really, really fun things that happen with the spirit loved ones. You know, for instance, there are people who have grown up in houses that have you all seen the I think it's Rocket Mortgage commercials? I love the Rocket Mortgage commercial with the ghost. It reminds me of the old joke about, you know, my roommates swear our house is haunted, but I've lived here for 300 and some odd years and I've never noticed anything. it's a great pun. It's a great joke, but it's not, it's typically not the reality of the situation, I have to say. But yeah, cool things can happen. So you can move into a house and you have someone that's like, yeah, you know, I passed over. I'm aware of that. I went home to spirit, but I like it here and I'm comfortable, and I stay out of your way and you stay out of mine. And, you know, sometimes I watch over the kids or the cats or the dogs or parakeets or whatever pets you might have in the house. And I don't feel that to be a bad thing, or an intrusion. So, ooh, good questions. Okay. To Kim, who was writing in, you are absolutely correct. It is a kind of niche belief, that, you know, if somebody's crossed over, they can't come back. I don't understand it because I know that to be incorrect. Obviously, we witness that all the time. So Jessica is writing in, what's a good way to ask spirit to validate their presence if you feel them around? You could have them do just about anything. Often they're very good with mechanical things or electrical things. So they could kind of flash the lights for you a little bit. You could ask them to leave a penny for you. You could ask them to, but feeling their presence and really, validating that you're aware that they're there and having, you know, more and more, I have people coming through from the spirit world that are saying that they have gratitude because their loved ones are having real conversations with them again. Not just, hey, I know you're here, which is more than fine, by the way. But like, hey, I know you're here. By the way, did I tell you about such and such, or are you aware of such and such? And let them, you know, whatever way you want to set up with them as a code so that they can sort of come through and you'll know, you know, that it's not your mind, you know, like putting a penny in a particular place or flipping the lights a little bit or something like that. Okay. So yeah, all good. I've had, my animal friends come in from spirit. You know, sometimes I can hear my dog's collar. And I know that they've been gone for quite a while, but, you know, I'll feel their weight beside me on the bed. I know from the size and shape that it's unmistakable. There's all kinds of ways that spirit can connect with us, which is a wonderful thing. So it's more about you validating them than it is about them validating the experience in some ways. Judy is writing in that her niece has a spirit in her home that moves things and flashes the lights. If that is in fact the gentleman that lived there before, go have a conversation with him. And if he is angry and in a bad mood and doesn't want to deal with things, but you know, by and large, if he's doing things to get your attention, it's because he wants you to know that he is there. So validating the experience, explaining to him gently, letting him know that there is no judgment. Because I think that's what people really kind of get this idea. You know, we go back to this cultural training, this fear-based training, that there is judgment waiting for us. And I will tell you from everything that I've ever experienced, whether it was somebody passing by suicide, somebody passing because they were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, whether they didn't think that they lived a very good life, that sort of thing, these sort of things you can explain to people that is not the case. Start by explaining it to the living. That's why I was chuckling a little bit. But yeah, definitely go and have a conversation and deal with people, and send healing and say, you know, I'm going to send you this gentle, loving energy. Know that there is only gentle, loving energy on that next plane, and that you can go and be with them. And likewise, I am very happy to share my house with you, and I'm not going to get in your way and you're not going to get in mine. And if you have a complaint about, you know, where I put the Afghan on the couch there, then, you know, that's something that can